Okay, I'm gonna start. You guys are so sweet, seriously. So sweet. All right, so earlier today, talked about a lot of things. Yeah, we did. Who has been to a Friday night at Dynasty before? All right. Who has not? Yeah, no, Saturday night, and this is very different. Very. Saturday night at First Steps is like baby steps. It's first steps to success. It's baby steps. Friday night creating a dynasty, this is big steps. This is kicking some booty, which is why I have my boots on. I'm going to be kicking the out of something. We'll be kicking it. Okay. What did you say? You're going to tie your shoes. That's good. You're looking so good, man. So proud of you. We both have watched each other, like, right? We have watched each other through a lot of things. But you got arms now, dude. That's amazing, Jackie. Like, Jackie, you were teetering on that. I'm just going to get chubby in my 30s. You did. Like, you were like, I'm married now. I got kids. And and then your wife loses 160 pounds. And so amazing. So inspiring. You look the best you've ever looked. You should be very proud of yourself. It's really, really awesome. It's very inspiring. And so does my husband. He was 18 when I met him, so it's like really hard to look better than he did at 18, but it's pretty fine. Pretty darn fine. Oh, hello, he was broke with the messed up teeth and a freaking messy hair. And now he's got money. He's got money in this awesome, freaking nasty, dirty man beard. I freaking love it. I will not let him get rid of it. Like, no, please. Let it keep going. It's like so gnarly. I'm like, come on, honey. There's like a dime a dozen bald guys with goatees. But who has Fu Manchu? Like, who has that? Like, what bald guy has that? Let it keep going. Okay. Thanks, Jackie. You got me totally distracted. I'm going to go upstairs for about 30 minutes. Because he's here. Okay. Sometimes on planes, I just look at that picture. It's like, Issa took that picture. She's an incredible photographer. Okay. So I'm just going to get right into this thing that we're going to talk about today. I had spent years, first of all, I told you at First Step Success that I had been suicidal before. I battled with a lot of things mentally and emotionally. And I searched for a really long time trying to find solutions. Counseling wasn't doing it. I just seemed to hit just a major roadblock with counsel. It was just not going anywhere. And there came a time where I so desperately wanted freedom from my own self. I wanted freedom from the stuff that was just attacking my mind constantly. And I found something that helped tremendously. And I want to be able to put that tool in your hand. And it's kind of a go-to thing for me. And it requires the Spirit of the living God, obviously, in order for it to be effective. I don't know if it's effective without, but I know how effective it is when you invite the Spirit of the living God into those very dark places that are kind of hidden inside of your heart. And so I really battled with perversion, a spirit of perversion, where I would see terribly perverted images before my eyes all the time, like walking outside, being at the mall, being at church. My dreams would be bombarded with perversion and perverted imagery, pornographic imagery, if you will. I battled with depression so very badly, and that was after I became a millionaire. That was after I had successful businesses. That was after I was married. It was after I had kids, and I really lived in a prison inside of my mind. And I began to search out God in a very different way. And to be honest with you, I was a very closed-minded spiritual person. We were of the Christian faith, and we went to church, and I taught Bible studies, and we tithed. You know, we were just those really good church people that, you know, did all that stuff, and I still was just tormented night and day. I just was not coming into a place of freedom, no matter how many scriptures I would memorize, no matter how much counseling I had by another Christian counselor, it just was not coming off of me. And it seemed to have gotten progressively worse as time went on. And I would wake up feeling so guilty because I wanted God so badly in my life. And I wanted to be used by him. I wanted my life to be all about him. And yet my mind would just torment me constantly. And so I'd feel so guilty, so filthy, and so disgusting. And so I would even question my own salvation. I would question that, do I really have Jesus, the Messiah, in me? Because how could I think this way? And how could I act this way? And how could I have so much anger and frustration? How could I fail so much, especially with Hans? How could I have so much different types of temptation in my life and still be a Christian? How is that at all possible? And there's a series of events that happen. You know, there's something beautiful that when you're desperate, that you began to pray different prayers. And that's what happened. Because I was trying everything that was known available to try to have freedom, but it just wasn't working. And out of desperation, I really cried out to him, and he answered that prayer in a very strange way. My sister-in-law, Karen, was at 12 years old diagnosed with a condition. It's juvenile onset rheumatoid arthritis. And how I met her is she actually was our nanny part-time for a season when Roman was born. Roman was 3 months old when we hired her. And so she worked 3 days a week. She worked about 20 hours a week. And I had gone back to work 20 hours a week. And I was off for 2 years, actually. I was off the entire pregnancy with him and the whole year before. And so I was ready to go talk to big people. And Erica was already in school. And so I had Cabe was 3 and Roman was 3 months old. And so she came to help out, and she was debilitated by this disease that she had that got progressively worse to the point of her wrists were fused together, meaning she couldn't do this, right? So she happens, her and my brother-in-law got married. They moved to Hawaii. And she went and visited Hans's mentor, who was a financial mentor. And he was a multimillionaire, really successful guy. And he's actually the guy that I told you when you came to Saturday night, the reason why I gave my life back to Christ. He invited us to church. His wife had died, right? So he was the guy that, he wasn't preaching or anything. He wasn't a minister or anything like that. But God had blessed him with a healing, inner healing, and deliverance ministry. And I did not believe in deliverance. I believed in inner healing, but I did not believe in deliverance, which would be casting out demons. I didn't believe in that stuff. And I didn't believe in physical healing, per se. I just didn't believe in that. I was very jaded by some evangelists that had taken advantage of me. I was jaded by some pastors who had taken advantage of me. I had some really major heart issues against people in leadership. And just so happens, the ones that I knew in leadership, they operated miracles, signs, and wonders. So I was like, nah, that stuff ain't real. This is nothing but an act and a show. And I allowed the character of man to cloud my understanding of the character of God. And so my sister-in-law shows up. And she surprised us from Hawaii, knocks on the door. I open the door. I've got one baby in my hand, another one at my legs, and she's like totally healed. She's cooking dinner with me, flipping tacos. She's walking up the stairs, like stuff that she could not do before. She had to quit her job because she couldn't move. And I had given birth to Micah, and she couldn't lift a 7-pound baby. Do you understand? And if you're a nanny and you can't lift a 7-pound baby, you're in the wrong profession. So she shows up, and it's obvious that she was healed completely. And I was blown away when I saw this. And again, I'm like the doubter. I don't believe in healing. I don't believe in deliverance. I don't believe in any of that stuff. And when I saw her, I'm like, and at the time, I had a fatal heart condition. I passed out 3 to 4 times a day. My heart would go from a resting heart rate to 300 beats a minute. Out of nowhere. It would be all throughout the day. There wouldn't be something that necessarily provoked it. It just would happen. And the doctors had told me that I needed a pacemaker in order to live for the rest of my life. I was 31 years old when I got diagnosed with this heart condition. I couldn't walk up the stairs without passing out. All of our bedrooms were upstairs. Do you understand? The doctor had told me I could never fly again, that I couldn't have any stress in my life. I'm like, I have a whole bunch of kids. How in the world do you not have any stress in your life? We had nearly a 6,000 square foot house, and I'm supposed to have no stress in my life. We had 2 companies, and I'm supposed to have no stress in my life. Yeah, sure. How do I do this? So right away, I retire from my business, and we try to change our life, and it just wasn't working. In fact, I hit a bus picking up the kids from school in a Suburban. So I'm driving my Suburban to pick up the kids from school, and I hit a bus. And it was a bus filled with elderly people being taken to their medical appointments. Okay? So I lost my driver's license for 9 months. My friend Mona used to take me to the grocery store because I had no driver's license. Had to get rides for our kids to school. This is a bad time in my life, if you understand what I'm saying. Okay? It's a time where you want to die. Okay? And at the same time, I'm having all those perverted thoughts. I'm being tormented with fear. I'm being tormented with guilt and shame. So this is a really bad, 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 bad time in my life. So Karen shows up, and, I just go, you can't deny that. When you see proof like that, you can't deny that perhaps God can't do something. So long story short, you've heard parts of the story. Let's connect it all together. I end up in Hawaii by myself. Mom trip to Hawaii by myself. And my first night there, I decided to go and see Damien. And now Damien has a little church, and he does it in one of his restaurants that he owns, but he doesn't run. He owns the building. And I show up there, and Damien is there. They're showing a video, and they're showing a video of all of these deliverances. And so it's a minister that is casting out demons out of people. And again, I don't believe in that stuff, right? Okay, but I'm sitting in the open air, beautiful Hawaii open air. There's not air conditioning. It's very warm. It's very humid. And on the screen comes this woman who's a very beautiful woman who all of a sudden her face is totally contorted and her voice changes and she looks like she's going to bite somebody. And the deliverance minister says, "What is your name?" And she says, "The Black Sickle." And every hair on my body stood up. I swear. It was this. Remember alfalfa? This is, everywhere. And it stayed up for like 15 minutes. Like my whole body was covered in chicken skin. You know, it's one thing you get a chill, but then it's another thing like your whole body is covered in chicken skin. I felt like my face had bumps all over it. Felt like my hair was standing straight up. I'm like, what the heck is that? Right? So the video, and it stayed that way for 15 minutes. So it just showed her for like 30 seconds. And then it's on to the next one. My hair's still up. Right? So then it finally calms down. It's like an hour later, it's the end of the video, and they do a montage of all of the different deliverances. So then it shows her again, Black Sickle, funk. I'm like, what's going on? Right? So right away, I'm like, oh, something's wrong. Like, this is not normal. Right? Everything inside of me is going, rah, 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 rah. So anyway, I go up to Damien, and I say, hi. He's like, oh, Danny, so good to see you, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's good to see you. He says, hey, I heard there was something wrong with your heart. Yeah, it's kind of bad. Do you want some prayer? Mm-hmm. That'd be good, I think. I said, can I talk to you? He's like, yeah, sure. Talk. Not here. I have to tell you something. Something happened. He's like, well, what happened? Not here. There's people around. Do you want to come to my office tomorrow morning? Sure. What time? 9:30? Done. I'll be there. So I go to his office the next day, and I tell him what happened. And I told him about my hair standing up and how it felt and all this weird stuff. And he's like, oh, okay. And pulls out this piece of paper. Okay, so, all right. Well, just stay right there. I'm just going to pray for you real quick. So he starts to pray. and he calls up the black sickle. And all of a sudden, the strangest thing happened to me. My face, my body was overtaken by something else. I am thinking, what's going on? But my mouth is laughing at Damien, which was so, I was mocking. It was a mocking spirit that was mocking this man that I respect so much. I'm like, but inside I'm like, help, help, what's going on? Okay, so he then asks this spirit, the black sickle, what its legal right was to be in me. And my mouth says, her father, her father. I'm like, what? And then I saw the picture of the story that my mom used to tell me about my mom being jumped by a few women trying to abort me, to get me aborted. That I obviously was an unwanted pregnancy and whatever. So anyway, so my mom was jumped by some friends of my dad's, and this kicked in the stomach, all of this stuff, trying to get an abortion, trying to abort the child. And anyway, I used to talk about the story, but it's the child. It wasn't me being aborted. It wasn't me that was trying to be killed, but it was this baby over here, right? So I was totally disconnected, and I compartmentalized the story to where it was somebody else. So anyway, so then Damien says, Danny, come forward. So I'm like, what just happened? I'm so sorry. That wasn't me. I swear. I'm so sorry. I don't know why I was laughing at you. So he says, what did you see when I asked what the legal right was? And I told him the story. And so what does that mean? I can prove to you scripturally. The sins of the father passed down to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But I will bless those for 1,000 generations who love me. So the generational curse of death, murder, suicide, entered me through the sin of my father. Legally, a legal right of that. I battled with suicide since I was 6 years old. 6 years old, it's the first time I tried to commit suicide. What in the world is in the mind of a six-year-old to try to take their own life? Think about that. A six-year-old. I mean, no matter how bad life is, when you're six, you still find something to play with. You still, do you know what I mean? You still climb trees and hang on bars and all this. No, I had a steak knife at my kitchen sink trying to slice my wrists at 6 years old. So, long story short, 3 days together, three different sessions through deliverance and inner healing, following the fruit to the root, I got completely healed, set free, and delivered. Not only was my heart completely healed, and medical documentation of it, because I had two specialists analyze my heart. I had an angiogram to take a full picture of my heart. I had two electrical pathways that I was born with. Just so happened when we moved to high elevation and we're in thinner air is when it started to manifest itself. And obviously my stress had peaked with the fifth child, the 5,600 square foot house, the almost $1 million worth of debt, and needing to quit my business and walk away from almost $1 million a year. How are we going to pay off all this debt if we lose $1 million a year income, right? So long and the short of it is that I have not had a single chest pain since June 28th of 2001. I fly all over the world now. My heart has not raced a single time. I had to go back to these two specialists to get my driver's license back. So they had to reevaluate me again. The DMV said I had to go back through these two. This heart specialist who trains all over the world, she's the one who came up with the ablation program for my particular heart condition. She teaches. She's from UC San Francisco. Looked at my heart again, and she says, I don't know how to explain this, but you have a completely different heart. It is, I don't know how to explain this. This doesn't make any sense. But I'm looking at the heart I saw 10 months ago, and I'm looking at this heart right now, and this looks like it came from two different human beings. I don't know how this is possible. Same with the second cardiologist, same exact thing. Like, it was a complete miracle what happened. But there was something else that happened that was so amazing. My depression was gone. The spirit of perversion. I no longer were seeing these perverted images before my eyes every day, all day, no matter where I was. My eyes were clear and clean. There was a guy that happened to be on the airplane that was an attempting of a flirtatious act with me. It was the first time I've ever seen it with my own eyes. before, I would just end up in a situation I shouldn't be in. I'd end up in a conversation I shouldn't be in and go, how in the world did that just happen? This time it was like, oh, meaning now I could see the perversion. I could see the lust. I could actually see the plan of attack before I was in it. I saw it out there going, oh, I know, go back to hell where you belong. This is not for me. So I got completely healed, set free, and delivered June 28th of 2001. I want to walk you through that same exact process that happened for me. I have taught tens of thousands of people this process who now are able to, for themselves, walk themselves for that. That now they're able to see what is clobbering them, bullying them, coming against them, and they can come against that very thing that is now coming against them and fight back. There is a war for your soul, regardless if you believe it or not. What I'm about to show you and teach you is going to mess with your theology and your doctrine in every possible way. Even though one-third of Christ's ministry was deliverance, the church largely does not talk about that. Why? It's not good for offerings when people are spitting up demons and slithering on the floor. That's why. So because of the manifestation of demonic, and we see the manifestation of the demonic in the Bible, right? Remember the man that came to Jesus saying, please do something about my son. A demon has overtaken him. Now, don't you think that's funny? That in the Bible, it talks about demons like it's, you know, I'm talking about my friend, right? It talks about demons like it's talking about food. It's talking about the ocean. It's talking about the stars. It's just common knowledge in the Bible at that time that people had demons. So this man that comes to Jesus and says, my son has a demon, and the demon picks him up and throws him into the water. It throws him into the fire. Do you understand? So we see the demonic manifestation throughout the Gospels. What's interesting is that the church wants to just pretend like that didn't happen. And it doesn't exist, but it is still existent today. I was a believer, a tither, a Bible study teacher who had demons. And that jacks with a lot of people's theology. No, because if you're in Christ, it's impossible that a spirit, a demon, could live. And really? Then you tell me, because I was a tongue-talking, Bible study teaching, tithing, praying 2 hours a day, reading my Bible cover to cover, could quote you any scripture anytime. I'm a Bible teacher, and I was housing demons and didn't know it. You're like, do I have a demon? Maybe. I don't know. But here's what I do know. Better out than in. Better out than in. Know what I'm saying? Don't you agree? Now, there's people in this room who've been delivered of all kinds of things right here on a Friday night. There really is. All kinds of spirits that have been chased out of people, not by Danny Johnson, not by anyone in the room, but by the Spirit of the living God, who is the Redeemer, who is the Reconciler, who does want to restore you, the full you, back to him. There's generational curses that we also see in the Bible. I mentioned one of them, right? That the sins of the father passed down to the third and fourth generation. Suicide came to me. My brother committed suicide when he was 12 years old. I have an aunt that committed suicide. Hello? That's a generational curse. Do you understand? Adultery has been a generational curse in my bloodline, in my family line. And I committed adultery multiple times. I had health issues. That's a full-on generational curse in my family. Oh my gosh, drugs, alcohol addiction, majorly in our family line. Like, there are only two aunts that I had that didn't drink and didn't abuse drugs. That's it. The entire family, all my cousins, my uncles, and all my other aunts and my mother all abused drugs, cocaine, pills, everything you can imagine. You name the drug, it has been in their body. That is a generational curse. So I want to show you, number one, who the one that is declaring war against you, how he fights, what his plan is, and how you win against him. How you win, how you defeat the enemy that prowls around like a roaring lion, hunting you down to kill you. There's nothing to be afraid of. This is normal stuff. It just happens to be stuff that largely people don't talk about, but it's very common around here, really, really common around here, okay? And super fun. It's like the funnest thing in the world to do. It really is. It really is, okay? Isaiah 61 is tattooed on my back, actually. You're like, what? Yeah, I got the word of the living God tattooed on my body. But Isaiah 61, that the spirit of Yahweh, that's his name. His name is Yahweh. He has a name. When the Greeks translated the Bible, they took his name out of the Bible and gave him the title God to go along with the other 35,000 gods that they already worshiped and served. So if you go back to the original Hebrew text in the Bible, his name is in the Bible hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. So Yahweh is his name. He's Hebrew name because he was given the name. Hello? Why he chose to speak Hebrew? I don't know. It's kind of a cool language if you ever heard of it. It's beautiful. Anyway, so the spirit of Yahweh is upon me to bring good news to the poor, to set the captives free, and to bring the prisoners out of darkness and to declare the year of Jubilee. That is what's going to take place right here, right now. Right here, right now. So, I want to, fortunately, some of you did not come back. And we need to shut the doors because we're going to go straight into it. Nate, we need to shut the doors because tonight is not about entertainment and we're not opening the doors, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach you the process and I am going to ask that you do not leave until the entire process is done, okay? And here's why. Because you're going to go through a cleansing process of your very soul. As you go through this cleansing process of your very soul, there needs to be a time of replenishing the whole. Do you understand? Meaning, stuff is in here, okay? We're going to get it out of here, but you don't want a big gaping hole. So by the end of the night, there's going to be a time of replenishing, both through words, right? Because it's by words that we receive and make agreements with these spirits, all right? And it's, by the way, through sin. It's through sin that we open the door to the enemy. And it's repeated sin that he then sets up a stronghold within us. That when we repeatedly do the very act that we know we should not be doing, whether it's judging other people, lying, little tiny lies, little tiny baby lies, that eventually now the father of lies now dwells inside of you. Do you hear me? And that goes with excuses as well. Because an excuse is a lie. An excuse is a lie. So whatever sin it is that we continuously repeat, that we entertain, that we feed, because what we feed will flourish, now we've given up our whole soul to be housed by something that is not of the truth, okay? So I'm going to go through a series of different passages that might surprise you, and if this is your first time, for those of you who've been here for a while, they need to be heard again and again. Okay, so in 1 Peter 5 and 8, it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's a very strong statement, don't you think? Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You see, the devil is equated as a roaring lion. If you study lions, you study the way that they hunt, you study how they divide in order to conquer. They separate one out of a flock through isolation. So isolation is a way that the enemy, is a strategy that the enemy uses to pull you out away from everybody, and that's the place where he will attack, is when you are isolated. The other thing that the enemy loves to do is look for the weakness that is in you, meaning a prowling lion hides in the bushes and watches his prey, studies his prey, and looks for that weak one, and then attacks at the most opportune moment. So for some of us, pride is a weakness, and I'm talking about pride and arrogance. I'm thinking higher of myself than I ought. I'm having huge success. Things are going amazing. Yeah, everything seems to be on target. And that's when he'll attack. That's when he will come to bring a shakedown, to tear you up, to tear you down. The second plan of attack is to keep you down. Won't let you up for a second to have a breath. And you can stay there for years like I did. I stayed there for years and years and years and years and years and years. Partially because I never confessed these things I was struggling with. I never confessed the perverted thoughts. I never told my husband about it. I never told a pastor about it. I never told a counselor about it. These were like, I can't ever say anything about this. I got to keep this stuff hidden over here. So there's certain things that I would confess, but there was other things that people will hate me if they knew this about me. That's living in darkness. That's living to the fear of man. That's living in pride. So be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Guess who he is looking to devour? Raise your hand. You. You are who he is looking to devour. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The Bible also says that the newest babe in Messiah can set to flight 10,000 demons. Why did Yeshua, his Hebrew name, his given name, Jesus, the Greeks gave him that name after Zeus, by the way. Why in the world that if demons were not real, why in the world would he say that the newest babe in Christ has the power to set to flight 10,000 demons? And what do we have to do? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's the same thing of being self-controlled and alert. Most of us are not alert. Most of us are in a battle, getting beat up every single day, and we don't even know we're bleeding. We don't even know that we're in a battle. We don't even know that there is war going on in the heavenlies coming out against us, trying to take us out. We don't even know that. We're not playing to win. We're not prepared to fight. We're just laying down and taking it. Being kicked, we're bloodied, and we can't figure out why. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 7 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it eat its fruit. You eat what you say. You eat what you say. And the only way that we give power to our enemy is with our mouth. We give power to him by the confession of our mouth. The Bible also says that by our words we will be acquitted or we will be condemned. By our very words we'll be acquitted or we will be condemned. So you speak life, you'll be acquitted. You speak death, get ready to be condemned. Matthew 12, 43 through 45. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, this is Yeshua, Jesus speaking. When an evil spirit comes out of a man. Huh? Shh, don't talk about that. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, this is Jesus talking. So if evil spirits weren't in a man, why in the world would he be saying when it comes out of a man? So when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and it takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and they live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. That is how it will be in this wicked generation. Guess what? We live in that wicked generation. We live in that wicked generation. We live in the wickedest of wickedest generations. We live in a world that calls evil good and good evil. That's the world we live in. That's the world that Isaiah prophesied. It has come to pass. We are in that wicked world that we can't even discern what's right or wrong. There's so much confusion that's in our land. So I'll go back to that. Matthew 16, 23 says, Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Who was Peter? A disciple. A disciple, which means he was a Christian. So the Christian was confronted by Jesus himself and said, what? Get behind me, Satan. So there you go with your theology that if you're a Christian, you can't possibly have a demon. Because that Christian had a demon. That Christian walked with Jesus for 3 years. You don't get too much more committed than what Peter was and the rest of them were. And here, wait, oh, there's a second disciple who also had a demon. Do you know which one? John 13:27. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered him. By the way, you know what's so interesting? That in the translation from the Greek to English in the Bible, strangest thing I noticed, because I have a Bible that has all the Hebrew names still intact. They kept all the Hebrew names according to the original Hebrew scriptures, including God's name that is in here and Yeshua's name that's in here. Okay, guess what name they did not change? Satan. They didn't translate that into a different name. Isn't it? So interesting. You know, James is actually Jacob, Yaakov, the book of Yaakov. It's not the book of James. It's the book of Yaakov. Really, why did they do that? Why did they change Jesus' name? Can you say Yeshua? Wow, you can do it. But they thought you wouldn't be able to, so they changed the name. But the name that they kept out of all the names, Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, those are the Hebrew names for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the one name that didn't get changed was Satan. That name has stayed the same. Satan is how you say it in Hebrew. Sick. They felt it was real important to keep that name the same. But let's change the name of God. Let's change the name of the Messiah. Let's change the name of all the disciples, all of the patriarchs, all the prophets. Let's change their names. Eliyahu instead of Elijah. So as soon as, wait a second, whoa. So as soon as Judas took the bread, oh, wait a second, where were they? They were having Passover. Oh, wait a second, they were having communion, which actually is not in the Bible also. Doesn't exist. The word communion doesn't exist. Taking communion doesn't exist. That's a man-made tradition. But they were having Passover. They were having Passover, very holy holiday. Having Passover, and Yeshua took the flatbread because it was the unleavened bread the night before he died. He took the flatbread, he broke it, gave it to Judas, and Satan entered him during communion. That just messes with a lot of theology. That just messes with a lot of theology. That during communion, Satan entered a disciple. During communion, Satan entered a Christian.
Oh, boy.
Numbers 14:18 and 19 says the Lord is slow. Sorry, Yahweh is slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving the sins and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. That is Moses, calling out to God, saying, don't kill them, please. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So, those are just a couple. There's so many more passages that we can go through to prove, A, generational curses, B, that yes, Christians can have demons, that C, that demons really do exist, and they exist in people. There it is. And these words don't lie. That's a reality. And if you think it lies... How else do you explain what happened to me June 28th of 2001? No counseling helped me through depression. No counseling helped me through pornography or perversion. No doctor healed my heart. There was one God who delivered me. Delivered me from suicide. I have not had a single suicidal thought since June 28th of 2001. But prior to that, every day of my freaking life, every day of my life, I battled with suicide. No matter how much money, no matter how much success, no matter how much joy came into my life, I battled with suicide. show. How do we do this? It's really simple. This morning, we prepared you to do this. Number one, confess and be healed, it says. Life and death being in the power of the tongue. So the first thing that we must do is recognize the fruit, which you did. How many of you recognize some fruit in your life? How many of you recognize some repeated fruit in your life? This repeated patterns that you want to destroy, that you want to demolish, that you want to be done with. So that very first part is demolishing, I mean, recognizing. So first you have to identify the fruit. Then you have to also understand that how in the world did it get there? Seed was planted. You made agreement with it. Then you repeated it again and again and again and again. So that stronghold has to be torn down the same way that the stronghold was built. Do you hear me? The stronghold gets torn down the same way that the stronghold was built. So when we go to attack some things that have been attacking you, and we're going to deal with everything, including sexual sin. We're going to deal with sexual sin tonight. You're like, what's that? Fornication. God. Not that. Yeah, that. So what does that mean? That means that if you want to truly walk in the light of your God, not in religion, but in the light, you have to recognize that there are certain things that you're playing with, touching, doing, that are actually opening the door for the enemy to come and to mess with you. You're giving him permission to destroy your life. He has to have permission from you in order for you to be beaten up by him. He doesn't have permission on his own. He has to have it. You have to yield it over to him. And you do that by agreeing with the temptations that are floated over to you. Whether it's the temptation to hate, whether it's the temptation to sleep around, whether it's the temptation of excessive alcohol, excessive drugs, whether it's the temptation of bitterness and hatred and malice that is stewing inside of you, or it's the temptation of procrastination and fear. You see, fear is just a temptation until you agree with it. And temptation is not sin. Temptation's not sin. Temptation is just a floating thought that you can just let pass right by you and out. It's when you act upon the thought is when you now have engaged into an agreement. So we're going to look at those agreements you've made. We're going to cancel every single assignment that's been assigned to you because of the legal document, the legal agreement that has been made between you and the enemy. So again, temptation comes when you let that temptation settle in and you act upon the temptation. Like, you know, you heard about war on debt, you're in debt, you said you want to pay it off, you haven't followed directions. You've buckled under the temptation of overspending again and again and again and again. Now poverty has its stronghold on you. Does that make sense? So a stronghold is built upon agreement of sin again and again and again. It's not built the first time. One time you screw up. That's not it. But it's when you continue to entertain and house and open yourself up to that. That is when. Now there is a stronghold. And now you are in a prison and all you hear is the guilt and the shame that goes along with the prison. And now you are captive to the enemy even though you say you're in Christ. You're captive to the evil one. So how do we get out of captivity? The same way we got in. Confession of our mouth. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned against you. This is what I've done. And then you break the assignment set against you. So you identify, you confess. The same mouth that puts you in the problem is the same mouth that gets you out of the problem. So now you agree with God that I'm free in Christ. I'm free in Messiah. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers my sin no more. Right? That's the truth. So what the enemy does, what our enemy does that comes against us is he tries to float to us his truth. And it's all in the battle of your mind. This is where it starts, the battle of the mind. Then penetrates the heart. And once it's like fully rooted, now we've got the prison. And now all we believe is lies. And we are entertained by the father of lies. So tonight I challenge you to allow the father, your true father, to shed his light on your heart and to impart his truth inside of you and for you to be filled by the Holy Spirit instead of by the evil spirits. The Holy Spirit is the one that can set you free, not any other human being. But it's the Spirit of the living God, Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is the one that has come to set you free. He brings everything that there is that you need to succeed in life and will do an impartation of all of those things by the end of tonight. So there's a number of different things that happen, manifestations that happen, that can happen when a demon is leaving somebody's body. Some of you, there's a spirit of slumber, for example. How many of you have tried to read your Bible and you fall asleep every time? It's a spirit of slumber. It's a slumbering spirit. And you can actually see that spirit right in the Bible. Okay, a slumbering spirit. That slumbering spirit is going to hell tonight. Why? Because there's only one that doesn't want you to read that book. There is only one that wants you to fall asleep every time you open it up. Only one. Why? Because that book is life. And that book is your weapon against the hand and the mouth of the enemy. And if you can stay in darkness, you'll not come into truth. And that book is nothing but truth. So some people might start yawning when certain spirits are called up. They start yawning. You feel like you're getting tired. All of a sudden, like, ooh, it's okay. That's all part of it. Some people shake. Some people convulse. You might hear some screaming out of this room. Some wailing that may happen. And sometimes, some people, they get thrown to the ground. Some end up levitating. The craziest things can. Some end up throwing up demons and all their nests. I have the most fun favorite story that I could tell you, but I think I'll wait. It is my absolute most favorite demon throwing up story. So I'm at a conference. I was invited to a conference to speak to 3,000 pastors. Okay? Yep. 3,000 pastors from all over the world, and I'm one of the speakers preaching to these 3,000 pastors, okay? And there are very famous pastors, very famous evangelists and speakers and prophets that are on this stage. Why in the world I'm on that stage? I have no idea other than this. So whenever I go into places like that, it just seems to be that God puts a message in my mouth that I really don't want to say. And the message was about the prostitution of the pulpit and how we have created a corporate structure in the church and that people care more about getting invited to speak at that pulpit that I was speaking from. So they do everything they possibly can to try to get attention and get to know the right people. And then they're ignoring the people that are in their own pews. They care more about the success of the numbers and the money of their church than they do about the healing and the deliverance of their own people. And I said, and to prove that to you right now, I will tell you that there's people in this room who've been raped and molested. And no one is bringing aid to them. As soon as I said it, there were several people out of the room that started screaming and wailing. And these were pastors. So I said, so hear the cry of the wounded that's in this place, and you're all pastors. So if you're carrying this, who in your congregation is carrying this and no one is answering this? No one is bringing healing and deliverance to these people. So I said, if you've been raped or molested, stand to your feet. Hundreds of people stood up. And now all of a sudden there's people screaming and wailing. I mean loud, like so loud that you can't hear me, all over the place. And I said, so Mr. or Mrs. Pastor, please get up and go stand in proxy behind next to that person face to face and ask for forgiveness on behalf of their perpetrator, on behalf of their violator. These pastors wouldn't get up. Mm-mm. Yeah. So the ones who did, were, we had some volunteers who came to serve at that thing, and they're looking at me like, can I get up? I said, go and stand. So our people went and stood The ones who've been the first steps and through Dynasty, they went and stood before these pastors saying, please forgive me. I'm sorry that I touched you. I'm sorry that I hurt you. I'm sorry that I violated you. Now people are wailing all over the place. So then I do a call coming to the front. Jackie was there. I do a call to the front. And my time is out. And there's this woman who came from a very religious, not Amish, but Mennonite, but something in that arena, who never wore pants ever in her life, never had worn makeup, always had her hair up in a bun, you know, always wore dresses and all this, very, very conservative woman, crazy story. Well, she ends up really, she on a Friday night like this, she got delivered of all kinds of stuff. So there comes hundreds and hundreds of people are coming forward, and people are wailing and crying. They're wailing and crying. They're bent over. There's this one woman. Well, there's about to be puking all over the whole place, all over right here. It's out of control. And Crystal Parrott is standing next to the usher who has a Kentucky Fried Chicken offering bucket. A stack of them. Okay? Crystal grabs the Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket from the usher. And it is a tug of war. No joke. She's like, you can't touch that. She goes, you don't understand. This stuff happens all the time with Danny Johnson. Give me that. Boom. And the woman puked in the bucket with the offering. Part of the... Part of the message was that the offering had become a stench in his nostrils. That the offering had become a stench in his nostrils, that there was manipulation that was used to get money out of people's pockets, and that they would be held accountable to the living God for how they drew the money out of the people's pockets. That all the promises that they were making, that God will give you out of debt if you write a $2,000 check, that was a stench in his nostrils. This was the message that I get. I've never been back there since. They actually did invite me back, but I was in the hospital with my back. So, yeah, so I didn't show up. That one was for $6,000, so it's a shock that they invited me back, but I haven't been back there since. So nonetheless, literally, Crystal, could you imagine? She had not been in a church ever like that. She is wrestling with this woman. No, you gotta give me that. You gotta... And catches... It's my most favorite story ever. It's like the best demon tossing cookie story ever. They did. It was terrible. Yeah. Yeah. They then brought their band on stage trying to sing a happy song. Joy of the Lord is my strength. And the people are puking and wailing all over the place. No joke. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. But people got healed, set free, and delivered that night from the torment of their rapes and being molested. And it was amazing. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. So anyway, so that may happen tonight. It may not. I have absolutely no idea. I have no idea. What's that? Where's the Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket? We got him. It's called trash can, honey. We have a trash can squad. Just in case. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it doesn't. I have no idea. I'm not in control of what the Spirit of the Living God does or what he does in someone else. So something, you might feel something. You might feel nothing. You might feel nothing. It doesn't mean that he's not working. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean that he's not working. He is working. And he honors the words and the confession from your mouth. And that's where you have to stretch with your faith to say, God, I believe in you. And I believe that you are my deliverer. You are my healer, regardless of what I see or feel, because feelings often lie. Feelings often lie. So don't look for a feeling. Don't look for a manifestation. Look to the living God and know that he has come to set you free from whatever it is that you are going to confess with your lips, with the fullness of your heart. You go all in with him. He's all in with you. So by the end of tonight, you're going to feel some of his presence, some of his peace that will come over you. And that also is something that will come over you as a direct result of him working things in and out and through you. So it's a really beautiful thing. Okay, so Issa, I'm going to pray. And again, I'm going to walk you through this, okay? So first it starts with identification and then confession. So it's identifying what's screwing with you, confessing it. Once you confess the sin, now you have the legal right to come against that spirit and command that spirit to leave your body, to leave your hands, your eyes, whatever it is that has been tormenting you. You have the power. You have the authority because Christ dwells in you. So that's when you come against that thing. You cast that thing out. Then again, we have a time of replenishing, okay? So I hope and pray that your eyes will be able to see tonight something new. So Father, I thank you so very much for your love. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for how you move in and through us. Yeah. We say come. We say come. We say come. We say come. Issa, you go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you, Father. I love, love the way you move, the way you say my name, the way you love so deeply. And I long, long for your touch inside of my heart. Awaken my soul, awaken my soul. Touch inside of my heart, awaken my soul, awaken my soul, awaken my soul, awaken my soul. Skies with you. I wanna be all that you dreamed of. Let me be all that you dreamed of. When you saw my frame, when you saw my frame, give me grace to walk the path. Give me to walk the path. Give me grace to love your Son, for he is beautiful, so beautiful. He is beautiful. He careful. I wanna be all that you dreamed of. Let me be all that you dreamed of when you saw my frame, when you saw my frame. Give me grace to walk the path. Give me grace to walk the path. Give me grace to love your Son, for He is beautiful. He is beautiful. He is beautiful. To me,
Shabbat. You are the great and lofty one. Yeah. You are the high and lifted up one. You know the conditions of our hearts. You know the condition of mine. And yet you still love. Seeking refuge. We deserve nothing. But yet we know that you are our Father and you desire for us to know you more. You desire for us to love you fully, with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our resources. We need you with us tonight. We need you. You are the Redeemer. You are the Reconciler. You restore us back to our original design. Yes. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Lead and guide us into all truth and righteousness. Help us, Father, to be set free, and help us to walk it out, to get the counseling, to get the accountability that we need. Help us to shut the doors that we've opened. Help us to not leave doors open. Help us not play around with the things we shouldn't play around with. Right now, I take authority in this room through the authority of Messiah. Yeshua is his name. I take authority over the four corners of this piece of property. and we set this property aside as holy ground. That everything that's ever happened in this room that is evil, everything that has happened from this stage, spoken from this stage that is evil, I cancel every single assignment and every word that's ever been spoken from this place, from past speakers, past events that have happened in this place. We take authority in this very room and we plead the blood of Yeshua, Dama Ve Yeshua, HaMashiach, the blood of Jesus the Messiah, the cleansing blood, the blood that carries all the authority against all death, all darkness, all disease, that comes against every evil thought and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That blood that was shed at the cross, that brought us into forgiveness, that brought us to reconcile with you, the Father, your name, Yahweh. Yes. Yes. Right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, I come against the spirit of religion. All forms of man-made religion, all forms, all rules, all laws, extra laws that were made, formed by man, formed by the frailty of man and the mind of man. I come against every form of religion that has exalted itself higher than the love of God. Every form of religion that has exalted itself higher than the knowledge of Yahweh himself. I break and I bind that spirit of religion. You will not have your way here tonight. You paralyzed right now in the name of Yeshua. You are completely paralyzed and you will not speak to anybody that is in this room tonight. I also come against the spirit of witchcraft. Witchcraft, you are not welcome, you are not legal, and you're not lawful in this room, in this space, right here, right now. Witchcraft, we have no use of you. I bind and break your powers. You are paralyzed. You will not manifest yourself in this space right here tonight. Yeah. I also come against the spirit of confusion. Confusion, you are wicked and you are a liar. Father of lies, Satan yourself, I declare war against you. I declare war against you with the blood that was shed 2,000 years ago. The blood of Jesus, the Messiah. You have no right and you have no authority. Father of lies, you are done. You are paralyzed. Your assignment is canceled. It is not needed in this place. Yes. Yes, I bind every wicked manifestation that is unholy, that should not be here tonight. Yes, I close every single door against the hand of the enemy, the mouth of the enemy, right now in the name of Yeshua. You are not welcome here. You must go. You must go. You must go. Yes. Start with forgiveness, with unforgiveness, with bitterness, with resentment. If you have battled, like it torments you, that there is hatred that rises up inside of you, you find yourself getting mad easily. There's resentment that just stirs inside of you. There's just someone you cannot forgive. There's just, you refuse, even though you know you should, even though you said you did, but you still have this angst against a person or certain people. You're still nursing, cursing, and rehearsing what has been done, and you refuse to treat that person like they are a new creature in Christ. Do you understand? And especially, by the way, especially that it's a believer, especially that it's someone that is in Christ, and yet you refuse to release them. To release someone means that it didn't happen anymore. It's gone. It's a reset. It's over. It's finished. It's dead. It's done. Listen to me. You want to be a new creature in Christ, then you have to allow other people to be a new creature in Christ. Do you hear me? You want all your sins to be passed away. You want, as far as the east is from the west, for your sins to be remembered no more, but you don't want to extend that to someone else. You see, when you are an agent of the Most High, when you are His child, you live according to His ways. And when you live according to His ways, the grace and the mercy that was extended to you, you're now an agent of grace and mercy. You're not an agent of judgment. You're not an agent of condemnation. You're not an agent of you did wrong and I'm going to prove it to you. You're not an agent of keeping records of wrong. If you're in Christ, then it's in Christ that you extend grace and mercy and understanding to someone who has sinned against you. You don't continue to walk and say, you screwed me. You screwed me. I don't like you. And I'm going to treat you the way that you screwed me instead of treating you as though you are a new creature in Christ. You want to be a new creature in Christ. As a new creature, that means that everyone around you is. And that's how you treat people. No records of wrong. So if you battle with keeping records of wrong, stand to your feet. Praise God. That includes the records of wrong against yourself. Why are you laughing? It's just like that just got the rest of you? Yeah, I know. Is that what happened? I need that there. Thank you. Awesome. Oh my gosh, this is huge. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh, oh, oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay, so you're just going to repeat this after me. I am walking you through the very prayer that I do on me. Ugh, wow, yeah, amen. Okay, you say this, say, Heavenly Father, please forgive me, for I have been a manipulator of your word. That I take the promises for myself, but I do not extend them to someone else. Forgive me, I've been hypocritical, even hypocritical of myself. I want all of your grace and your mercy, but when it comes to someone else needing it, I don't give it. Forgive me, for I have sinned against you. And I've been a bad example of your love, of your forgiveness. That's clean. You freely forgive me, but I have not freely forgiven others. I want to play with resentment. I want to entertain bitterness. And I have been confessing it, speaking bitterness, speaking resentment. And I'm sorry. It is wrong. I don't care what the person has done. What I have done is equal to, if not worse than, because I've exalted my own self in total pride as being sinless as I've judged another person. So I confess, I am not the righteous judge, nor should I be wearing the righteous robe that only Jesus, Yeshua, is qualified to wear. So right now, I am forgiven of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. So, spirit of unforgiveness, spirit of bitterness and resentment, I come against you, and I come against your assignment. You are a filthy liar. You are illegal from this moment forward. I will not listen to you, and you will not use my mouth to spew wickedness against other people who I feel have hurt me. I break your powers right now with the authority of Jesus that is in me. I break your mouth, every assignment, Every fiery dart that you have sent against me, I break all of it in Jesus' name. I also cancel every assignment that has left my mouth that's been used to attack the character of others. My mouth that has been used to come against other people that need the saving grace and the forgiving power of the Messiah. Yes. Yes. So I release these individuals freely right now in Jesus' name. I cannot do it on my own, but through the strength of the Messiah, I can do all things. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I forgive myself and I break every assignment that I've made against myself, calling myself stupid, calling myself an idiot, reminding myself of my failures, feeling guilty and shameful of things I've done that I've already been forgiven for. I forgive myself for holding up my failures higher than the knowledge of God that says I am free, that says I am no longer captive. I tear down every thought and make it obedient to the Messiah. His name is Yeshua. Yes. So I release myself from all bitterness, anger, rage, resentment, beating myself up. I cancel the assignment of the bully that is within me, that I have bullied myself. And out of the bullying of myself, I have bullied others in some way, in some fashion, especially with not giving forgiveness. That's how I've bullied people. Wow. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes. Just stay right there. So right now, in the name of Yeshua, I'm going to pray. Just hold. Right now, in the name of Yeshua, I come against the spirit of unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. Yes, you're a filthy pig. You are a filthy liar, and you have no authority in any standing person in this room. Every assignment that you have set up, every health problem that has been connected to bitterness, all the worry that is connected to bitterness, all the resentment that's connected to bitterness, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we come against all of that right now, in the name of Yeshua, right now. It all comes out, it all comes out, it all comes out, it all goes, it all goes, it all goes, it all goes, it all goes right now in Jesus' name. Yeah. Yeah. Come out right now. I want you to say this, Cynthia. Come out right now.
Come out right now.
Bitterness, you leave my body.
Bitterness, you leave my body.
I'm done with you.
I'm done with you.
I don't need you anymore.
I don't need you anymore.
I'm not bowing down to you anymore.
I'm not bowing down to
you. You are not my God.
You are not my God.
I am not your servant.
I am not your servant.
Resentment, I hate you.
Resentment, I hate you.
With a holy hate.
With a holy hate.
You controlled my life.
You control my life.
For too long.
For too long.
Your assignment is no longer welcome.
Your assignment is
I break every agreement.
Welcome. I break every agreement.
And you are done.
And you are
done. So I command you to come out of my heart.
I command you to come out of my heart.
Right now.
Right now.
Come out of my mouth.
Out of my mouth.
My tongue is no longer used by you. I loosen my tongue right now. And I break the gag order off of my tongue right now.
Oh, yes.
Come off of my hands.
Come off of my hands.
Come out of my feet.
Come out of my feet.
I don't need you to take me to places anymore.
I don't need you to take me to places anymore.
Yes. Yes. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out right now. Come out, come out, come out right now. come out, come out, come out right now. I break, in fact, the generational curse. How many of your mothers were very resentful? Any mothers that were resentful, unforgiving, right? Spoke hatred about people, gossiped about people all the time. Guess what? You got. That's a generational curse. That's what that is. Okay? So we're going to go to town. Mamas, especially. Say this. Say, I break in the name of Yeshua. Yep. The generational curse of resentment and bitterness, unforgiveness that was passed down to me by my mother's example. I ask for forgiveness on behalf of my mother, her mother, her mother's mother's mother, all the way back to Eve, for the sin of unforgiveness, for the sin of bitterness, for the sins of hatred. And destroying people with their mouth. Yes. I break those assignments right now in Jesus' name. You are cut off. I sever the ties of the sin from my mother all the way back to Eve.
All the way back.
You are finished.
You are finished.
Yes. Thank you, Father. How many of you had fathers who were also hateful? Anybody? Fathers that were hateful? Fathers that spewed negativity? Fathers that came against people? Fathers that held grudges? Okay, this whole grudge-holding thing? Let's come against that also. That's a generational curse. Your parents did that. They taught you to do it. Do you understand? They taught you by their very example what you heard them talk about. They passed it on to you. They just said, here you go. Here's some sin. It's all yours. Here you go. Here's some bondage. It's all yours. They didn't know what they were doing, but that's what they did. After you leave here this weekend, you also need to understand that. You're either passing sin, bam, putting it in their hand. Here's some bondage, son. Here's some bondage, daughter. Here you go. Here, this is a great tool to destroy your life. Yes. It's a great tool to destroy your life. It's a great tool to destroy other people's lives. This is what you do when someone hurts you. You hold a grudge. You speak curses over them. Do you know what that is? That's witchcraft. That's what that is. That's straight up witchcraft, right? So we're going to break that generational curse that come from the father line. Say, Father, you're my true father. And I ask for forgiveness on behalf of my father and his father and his father's father all the way back to Adam. And I come against that spirit of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness, holding a grudge, speaking curses over other people's lives. I break every assignment, every generational curse that's come against me. Satan, you will not touch my children. Yes! Yes. You take your hands off of my seed. I break every generational curse right now in the name of Yeshua. Can you get my Bible? Every generational curse with hatred, malice. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I cancel, yes, the sword that is in her back right now. I pull that sword right out. That sword that's in her back. That sword. Every single word, every assignment, every evil curse that has been spoken and then used her mouth to speak, the same sword, the same death. Right now, in Jesus' name, I come against every ounce of that and I break it right now. You have no power. You have no right. You have no authority inside of this vessel. It is done. It is done. Say this after me. Say, go. 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 Come out.
Go.
Go. I'm done with you.
I am done with you.
Yes. 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 Say, come out of my belly.
Come out of my belly.
Right now.
Right now.
Yes. Come out. Come out. No more. No more. No more. No more. No more. out right now in Jesus' name. Out right now. Tormentor, you are done. You are done, tormentor. You are finished. Yes, you are done. You are done. You are done. We break the silver cord. We break the silver cord right now. Yes, we break that umbilical cord of evil. We break that umbilical cord of death being spoken from the mouth. Death seen with the eyes. Yes. Yes, condoning it, justifying it in Jesus' name. Yeah. Whoa. Yes, 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 yes. Okay. Self-hate, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come against you, you wicked, filthy spirit. Self-hate, generational curse of self-hate. Yes, right now I break you, by the way, self-hate. Yes, self-hate, self-hate, self-hate right now in Jesus' name. We break your powers off of every person in this room. You come out right now. You come out of this mouth. Yes, you come out of this mouth. Guilt and shame. Yes, knowing the right thing to do and not doing it. Right now, self-hate, self-destruction. It all goes right now in Jesus' name. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes. Double-mindedness. And striving and striving and striving. Yes. Tired. Yes. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you. How many of you really battle with condemnation, like self-condemnation, self-criticism? If that's you, stay standing and the rest of you can sit down, because that's a liar. Yeah. Say, Father, forgive me, for I have used my mouth, my heart and my mind to condemn myself. I've exalted my feelings higher than your knowledge, where you say that I'm free, but I've chosen to put myself in bondage. I've chosen to put myself down. I'm your child who you awesomely and wonderfully made. And I've tried to destroy myself with condemnation. So, spirit of condemnation, you are filthy and you're nothing but a liar. You're a tormentor. I no longer have need of you. So spirit of condemnation, spirit of criticism, spirit of negativity. Yes. I break your powers. And I command you off of my life. Come off of my career. Come off of my family. Come out of my mouth. Out of my ears. Yes, off of my tongue. Come out of my belly. The place where you've dwelled. The anxiety that you bring. Yes. Come off of my feet. The places you've walked me to. I will go no longer. Yes. Condemnation and criticism. Go back to hell where you belong. I hate you with a holy hate. And you are no longer needed. Your services are no longer rendered. Here. I am not buying another lie from you. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes. Yeah. Condemnation? I break you off my finances.
Criticism.
You hurt my mouth. You're done.
You're done.
You can't use me anymore.
You can't use me
you
anymore.
Will not manipulate me anymore. You're not going to use my mouth. You're not going to use my eyes. You're not going to use my ears, my feet, my hands, my money. You are not going to use anything of mine. It doesn't belong to you any longer. I break every single assignment, every lie that I have agreed with. You go to hell where you belong. I hate you with a holy hate. And I'm done with you. All the pain. Say this, baby. All the pain that I have suffered from condemnation. Yes. I release it now. I release all the pain from all the criticism. Come on. Say, I release it.
I release it.
I have no need of it anymore.
I have no need of it anymore.
Say, my deliverer is here. Rescuing me. I measure up. I measure up.
I measure up.
In him. Oh. Guilt from the past. Guilt from the present. All you see is what you don't do right. All you see is what you've done wrong. All you see is the bad in you. If that's you, stay standing. If guilt has kicked you in the mouth dozens of times, and you've worn the label, I feel so guilty, I'm so ashamed, you can stay standing. The rest can sit down. Heavenly Father, say this after me. Heavenly Father. I've made friends with the spirit of guilt and shame. Which has driven me to dark places. The places of escape. That I have found refuge instead of finding it in you. You know where I run and hide. Yes. You know what my addictions are. But you still love me. You know what my sin is. But you said, as far as the east is from the west, you remember my sin no more. But I've made friends with guilt and shame. Please forgive me for spending more time with guilt and shame than I have with you. Forgive me for listening to the words from guilt and shame more than I listen to you. Forgive me that I know more about guilt and shame than I know about you. They've become my secret lover. But right now, in this very moment, by the confession of my mouth, I break the assignment of guilt and shame. I come against you, liar. We are no longer friends. You are not my lover. You are not my entertainer. You will no longer draw me to the places that you have drawn me. I hate you with a holy hate. And I break your power off of my life, off of my finances, off of my business relationships. Yes. Yes. You have spoken to me that I am nothing, that I can do nothing right, that I'm worthless. That I'm useless, that I'm not good enough, and I'm here to tell you that that is a lie. You are useless. You are worthless. And you are done. Go mess with someone else in the pit of hell where you belong. That is your home. I am no longer your home. So go to hell. Right now, in Jesus' name, I come against you with a holy hate. Go to hell. Come out of me now. abyss. I cast you in that place of a lake of fire. Out of me right now in Jesus' name. Come out right now in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out right now in Jesus' name. Yes, it all comes out right now in Jesus' name. Yes. Let go. Yes. 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 It all goes right now in Jesus' name. I cancel every assignment right now. Wow. It's a generational curse of guilt and shame. Oh my gosh. Some of your parents said to you, I'm ashamed of you. Woo. Raise your hand. Who heard that? I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed of you. That's a passing on of guilt and shame over a child when that is spoken to you. I'm ashamed of you. That's what happened. Yeah, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, I break those very words. I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed of you. I break those words. I cancel that assignment. I break the generational curse of shame and guilt off of every child, man and woman in this place, every child of God. I break the generational curses of guilt and shame and all addiction that comes with guilt and shame. You are a tormentor. You are a liar. I cancel the assignment right now. We ask for forgiveness. Say this with me. I ask for forgiveness. On behalf of my mother and her mother's mother for guilt and shame. Yes, I break that assignment and that generational curse. You will not touch my seed. You will not touch anything I own. And you will not touch anything that has come from my body. I ask for forgiveness on behalf of my father and his father's father, all the way back to Adam, for passing on guilt and shame, using guilt, using shame to control children. Man, yes. I break the power of usury and manipulation of guilt and shame. Right now in Jesus' name. And I break it off of my bloodline. It did not pass me. It is done. It is over. It is finished. It was finished at the cross. It is finished now in me. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. So good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Yes. Wow. How many of you, it was spoken over you that you were not wanted? You were an unwanted pregnancy. Stand up. Really? Say, Father, I release those that didn't want me, my mother or my father. I forgive them. They didn't realize that they planted a seed in me. Being unwanted. I've strived my whole life to be wanted, to be desired, to be accepted, and to be loved. Yes.
It's a spirit of rejection. I don't want you anymore. Spirit of rejection. And rejection in the womb. A place that was supposed to be safe. That was not safe. Say this right now in the name of Jesus. I cancel every assignment that rejection has had on my life. Every assignment that abandonment has had on my life. I break those powers right now in Jesus' name. I break the non-acceptance off of me right now. Yes. Yes. So much healing going on in here right now. Yes. Yes. So rejection, abandonment, you are broken. Go to hell where you belong. Right now, come off of my hands. You will not control my hands anymore. You will not control my feet anymore. You will not control my mind or my mouth anymore. Rejection and abandonment, I hate you with a holy hate. You have destroyed all the relationships in my life. Self-rejection. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you. Self-rejection, you are not needed. I hate you. Leave me now. I command you all to my body. Yes. 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 I break you off of my ears. Rejection. I break you off of my tongue. You have used my mouth to reject myself. Yes. You've used my money to reject myself. You have used my hands to reject my vision and my goals. Yes. Spirit of unworthy, I command you to come out of my body right now in Jesus' name. Come out right now. Come out right now. Come out right now. Right now in Jesus' name. Yes. Rejection by the Father. Right now, in the name of Yeshua, I come against the rejection of the Father, the rejection of an earthly father. I break every assignment that was set by the words that says, I don't want this child. We don't need this child. I didn't want this. I didn't want to be here. Come on, right now, in the name of Jesus, I break those words right now, those words of death right now in Jesus' name. Yes. 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 It's so painful to not want it. Yes. Those of you are
standing stay, I have felt like I'm a burden, that I'm a waste. Say, I confess my anger of not being accepted, not being wanted. All the things I've done, all the things I've said, just to be wanted. I release from every part of my soul everything that has to do with being unwanted. Everything I've bought, trying to be accepted, trying to fit in, trying to find a home, a safe place. Every action I've taken that has resulted in pain, I release it right now in Jesus' name. Out of the pain of their own heart, that they made that decision and spoke those words. Yeah, wow. Oh my gosh. Okay. For some of us, it's a generational curse. Our dad wasn't wanted. He was hated by his dad. My mom was born of an adulterous situation. Yeah. So say this. I stand before you, God. You know what's in my bloodline. You know my ancestors, those who also were unwanted, and in the hardness of their own heart, who they rejected because of the pain of being unwanted. So I ask for forgiveness. On behalf of my mother and her mother and her mother before her, all the way back to Eve, who was the first rejecter of seed. And I ask for forgiveness on behalf of my father and his father before him, and his father's father, all the way back to Adam. Yes. 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 for that rejection. And I break right now in the name of Jesus the spirit of generational curse of rejection. It's okay. It's okay, Steve. Yeah. This is self-rejection right here. A self-rejection right here, right now. Self-rejection right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. I cancel all of your assignments. Yes, I break the generational curse of self-rejection right now in Jesus' name. All self-rejection right now in Jesus' name. It all goes right now in Jesus' name. It all goes. It all goes. It all goes. It all goes. It all goes right now in Jesus' name. Yeah, right now it all goes. Self-rejection right now in Jesus' name. You have no right. You have no authority. No power over this vessel. Not another minute, not another day. In Jesus' name. Self-rejection. You go to hell where you belong. You come out. You come out. You come out. You come out. You come out right now in Jesus' name. Yes. It all goes. It all goes. It all goes. It all goes. Yeah. Yeah. Generational curse on both mother and father's side right now in Jesus' name. On both sides. Both sides that rejection came. Yes, right now in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out right now in Jesus' name. There you go. Woo. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes. Yes. It all goes right now in Jesus' name. It all goes right now in Jesus' name. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Release. Release right now. Release right now in Jesus' name. Yes. Release right now. Yes. Thank you, Father. All the nests. Yes. Every single part of this body releases all of it. Releases all of it right now. Release, 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 release. I come against you with the holy fire. Yes. Fire, 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 fire right now in Jesus' name. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Yes.
Yes. You have the life of big children.
Yes. That's right. Say this after me. I break that spirit of rejection off of my seed. In Jesus' name, you will not go past me. You will not go past me. You will not touch my children's children's children. In Jesus' name, you will not come against my seed. This is where it stops. It's over. It's done. Done in Jesus' name. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Yes. Wow. Is there anybody here that was given up for adoption? If you were given up for adoption, please stand. If you're standing, you were adopted. So I need some help on this one. Jackie, come with me. Can you excuse me? Come here. Will you please forgive me on behalf of your mom? Give me a bath for your birth mom. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I was wrong. Please release me. In Jesus' name. Jackie, on the Father. anyone standing, I need you guys to help go and ask for forgiveness. I need mothers and fathers. And is there anybody here that gave a baby up for adoption? Anybody? Am I the only one? Seriously? Wow, that sucks. Where? You've given a baby up? Who's given up for adoption? You're standing. Come with me. Ask him. You were given up for adoption? No. Who's given up for adoption? Stand up and raise your hand, please. Mia.
Thank you.
About abortion. Some of you who've had abortions, and you have that guilt inside of you, and you want to ask for forgiveness of the baby you aborted, stand to your feet. This is a safe place. Father, please forgive me for taking the life of a child that you planted in me. Please forgive me for what I've done. I did not know at the time the suffering I would suffer as a direct result. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I release myself and I receive forgiveness for taking the life of a child. Okay, listen. We need help. I need you to go to the people who are standing, and you're going to stand as that child for them. Those of you who are standing, you are going to ask that person that's standing in front of you to forgive you, okay? Go ahead. Thank you. And by the way, for any of you that, men, you obviously didn't have an abortion, but you might have been involved in one. And women who you also were involved in one, meaning you encouraged someone to have an abortion. If that's you, stand to your feet. Because you need to do the same thing. That blood's on your hands. If you've encouraged somebody else to have an abortion, that blood is on your hands. That's innocent blood that was shed. It's innocent blood. So much pain, man. Yes. Know this, that there is no condemnation for those in Christ. That's the truth. There's no condemnation for those in Christ. There's no condemnation for those in Christ. There is no condemnation for those in Christ. And you are a new creation. You're a new creation today. You are a new creation. You are not your past, and you will not be mentored by your past.
Thank you.
on the abortion thing. Any involvement with abortion, stand up. Take authority over the spirit of murder, self-destruction, self-sabotage. You see, abortion is premature death. Premature death, how that manifests in your life. It can be through sickness. It can be through premature death of a vision, premature death and self-sabotage of finances. It's self-destruction. Is what it is. It's self-harm. Abortion is self-harm. So whether you encourage somebody else to go there or you went there yourself, we got to take care of that ground. So you asked for forgiveness on behalf of that child, but now it's taking authority over the spirit of murder, taking authority over the spirit of premature death. Premature death and finances and vision in your physical body. Any place where there's that self-sabotaging spirit. So it's just really simple. So much pain. Say, Father, I receive your forgiveness for what I've done. My involvement. With premature death. So I come against the spirit of premature death. In Jesus' name, I come against self-sabotage. And I come against self-hate. Yes. Spirit of self-sabotage. And premature death, I no longer have a need for you. I hate you with a holy hate. And I break you off of me. I break you off of my hands and my heart. My ears, my eyes, my mouth, my feet. Come off of everything that I've touched. I cancel all of your assignments. And I break you off of my seed. Everything that's in my life that's supposed to flourish, I break you off in Jesus' name. I also break the fear of losing off of me right now in Jesus' name. The fear of loss, the fear of failure, right now in Jesus' name. I cancel your assignment. You are no longer needed. Go to hell where you belong, because I am done with you. Come off of my finances, off of everything that belongs to me, everything that's been given to me. Yes. Come out right now in Jesus' name. I break the power of darkness, the power of premature death. I break the spirit of murder. I break the spirit of suicide right now in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of self-hate right now in Jesus' name. I curse the spirit of self-hate and suicide and murder right now in Jesus' name. Self-sabotage of vision. Yes, lack of confidence. Yes, self-destruction. Condemnation, guilt, shame, everything that goes along with every abortion right now. We cancel every single one of those assignments and we break it off. We break it off. We break the strong man right now off. Right now, the stronghold right now broken. Broken, broken right now in Jesus' name. Broken. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yes. Ouch. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Wow. Yes. Thank you, Father.
some of you, you're entertaining. I don't deserve freedom from that. I deserve to be punished forever. Yeah, that's a lie. That I deserve to be punished forever for what I did is a lie. You saying that, you entertaining that, you believing that is saying that what happened at the cross never happened. Do you understand? That's the spirit of the Antichrist that speaks that lie, that you deserve to pay for your sins forever and forever. It's a lie straight from the pit of hell. It's a lie from the Antichrist himself. So let's deal with that. How many of you feel like you deserve to pay for it? You deserve to be beaten for it. You deserve to be killed for it. You deserve all the pain and all the suffering because of what you did. If that is you, stand to your feet. And we're going to go to town on that. Yeah, we're going to town. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I cancel every agreement that I have made saying that I deserve punishment, that I deserve destruction, that I deserve pain. Yes, I break that right now in Jesus' name. I break that lie right now in Jesus' name. I cancel that assignment. I break the agreement with the father of lies, with the spirit of the Antichrist. I break it right now in Jesus' name. And I command you to come out. Come out, come out, come out right now in Jesus' name. You are broken. You are broken and you are done right now in Jesus' name. Every single lie, every lie. I deserve pain. I deserve suffering for what I've done. Yes. Say, I agree with the cross that he died for me. And he died for this particular sin and every sin that I have ever committed. He rose. He rose from the dead. And he is alive. And he is alive in me. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers this sin no more. He paid the full price with his perfect blood. I can't possibly pay the full price. I don't have perfect blood. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes. Yeah, I break every single lie that I deserve, that I deserve to be beat up, that I deserve to pay the price for that sin. Christ died for me. Christ died for me. Messiah came and he died for me. He died for me. He died for me. Yes. I break that spirit of regret, you liar. Regret wants to bury us. You are such a liar. Awesome. What a night. What a night. Oh, so good. Thank you, Father. These spirits in which we have mentioned that we have called out, that we've broken assignments against. Each one of them have an assignment to lead you to places that you should not go, to keep you from the places that you should go. Every single one of them. Every one of those spirits tempt into certain spending, they tempt into certain habits, and they torment night and day. Yeah. Raven, I'm ready for you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So much pain. So much pain.
you, Father. I want you to stand to your feet, please. I just want you to repeat this after me. Say, I receive the forgiveness and the fullness of it deep within my soul for everything that I've confessed here tonight, everything I confessed this morning. I receive it from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, that the forgiving power of my Father has done the work. And I receive that spirit of forgiveness inside of me. I receive the spirit of acceptance in the place where rejection once lived. Fill me now, Holy Spirit, and come and heal me now in the very places where rejection and abandonment once lived. The fear of rejection, the fear of losing, and the fear of abandonment, where that once lived, I receive the acceptance of the Messiah inside of me. I receive the fullness of his acceptance, that he accepted all who came to him. He accepted the prostitute. He accepted the harlot, the tax collector, the cheaters, the liars. He accepted the sinful that everyone else rejected. And I am before him now, and I am accepted by him. Yes. So Holy Spirit, fill me and heal me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet with your acceptance and your perfect love that casts out all fear. I receive the spirit of love, the love of myself. I choose to love myself right now, just as I am, flawed in every way. But I receive the spirit of love inside of my soul. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I receive grace that comes from heaven. That which is bound on earth is bound in heaven, which is loosed in earth is loosed in heaven. So I loosen right now from heaven that spirit of grace to come and heal and dwell my being right now in the name of Yeshua, in the places where malice and hatred and holding grudges once lived. Yes. And I receive the acceptance of the Father in the place where I've been rejected by other fathers. Yes. I receive it now. Yes. Holy Spirit, heal the wound. Come and heal me. And fill me with your words of acceptance. Hold on, baby. And I want you just to repeat these words. I want you to go by Jackie and repeat these words. I receive. Yeah. The spirit of self-acceptance. Holy Spirit, bring healing in the
the place where self-sabotage once lived. I receive that inside of my soul right now. Self-sabotage is no longer dwelling in me, but self-acceptance, the acceptance of Christ who died for me, is in me. Yes. Yeah, I receive the spirit of truth in the place where the father of lies once dwelled. Spirit of truth, come into me now. Rest inside of my soul and bring healing to the places where destruction was. Bring healing in the place where the father of lies planted seed. Yes. 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 Wow. Yes. I receive the spirit of optimism. Yes. I receive visions from heaven and heaven alone. I receive the spirit of inspiration. Yes. And the spirit of motivation according to the word of God. Deep within my soul, bring your healing power and motivate the dead places. Inspire the places that are sleeping. I speak life, and I ask for the spirit of life to come and minister to my soul. Bring your healing words to dwell in the very places where self-condemnation and self-criticism once lived. Yes. I receive those words of life, of gratitude, of being freed. I receive the words that there is no condemnation for those in Christ. And I am in Christ. That I can't possibly pay for my sin. But the one who could, did. And he is in me. So I receive the full redemptive price for my soul, for my sin. And I cast my sin off of me. And everything that cursed me, where those curses lived, I receive the love of His Spirit dwelling in me. I receive the spirit of mercy, where bitterness once lived. I receive a right spirit, the spirit of righteousness inside of my soul. Yes. To go into the place where guilt and shame once lived. I am made righteous by the blood of Yeshua and only by His perfect blood. That I stand in His righteousness. Right now. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes. And I receive that truth that I am wanted and that I'm worthy of love. That my Father in heaven chose me to be cleansed by His perfect Son. I am wanted by Him. And that's all that matters. Yes. I speak life over my life, over my seed. Live. You shall live and not die. You shall live the fullness of your days. I speak restoration and redemption and receive it into my soul, that I am made right and restored to my rightful place in the Messiah. And I am protected by his Spirit night and day, 24/7. I am covered by his grace and his mercy and his patience. Yes. Put your hands up to the heavens. Say, I receive the Spirit of the Holy Spirit in me, dwelling in me. Baptize me now and fill me with the gifts of the Spirit. Fill me with everything that you have. I receive it now into my soul to dwell in me, that I will walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. That I receive the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, and self-control deep within my soul to dwell inside of me. I declare today and I decide today that I walk by faith and not by sight. I cancel every assignment that fear has had in my life, and I receive the Spirit of faith right now in Jesus' name. I receive the Spirit of healing inside of my soul right now in Jesus' name. I receive the Spirit of prophecy inside of my soul. Yes. I receive the Spirit of knowledge, that I will come into the knowledge of things I have not learned. And I will receive skill that I have not learned. I have received ability from heaven and heaven alone. Yes. I receive the Spirit of wisdom in the place where stupidity once lived. Yes. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I receive another measure of wisdom. The ability to solve complex problems. The ability to know the right path. I receive the Spirit of clarity of mind. Woo, yes, right now in Jesus' name. In the place where confusion once lived. Woo, yes, yes, yes. In the place where the slowness of mind, the slothful spirit, I rebuke you and you are done. Go to hell where you belong, for I receive a sharp mind. Yes, put your hands on your head. And I receive, yes, the mind of Christ. The mind of the Messiah is my mind. Yes. I receive the Spirit of discernment, that I will discern evil from good, that I will discern the spirit of death from life, that I will discern the difference between the evil one and the lover of my soul. Yes. I receive the gift of the Spirit of discernment inside of me right now in Jesus' name, that I will not be deceived another moment, another day by any lying demon and devil from hell. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Yes. Yes. I receive the spirit of encouragement. Thank you. Take root in me. And I will speak encouragement over my own soul. And I will walk in encouragement. And I will breathe encouragement onto other people's lives. Use me, God, to encourage and to inspire others. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes. Thank you, Father. Oh, you're good, Father. There's no one like you. Say, I receive the spirit of Shabbat, Shalom, which is rest for my soul and peace for my soul. I receive that now into my very being. Go and heal the places where worry, fear, and anxiety once lived. Thank you, Father. Anything else? Okay. Thank you, Father. Step is the Bible shows us that God plants gifts into people and that those gifts can be transferred to another person through the laying on of hands. We see this all through the whole Bible and through the laying on of hands, and that's a faith-filled thing, that when somebody has a gift and you want to receive it, that through the power of the laying on of hands, meaning their hands being put on you, and a blessing of that gift being put in you. I have to tell you something. That day where Damien and I were done, at the very, very end of it, he laid his hands on me. And he said, God, what you've given me with healing and deliverance, I plant it into Danny now. And I said, I don't want that. That stuff is weird. He says, shut up and take it. No joke. It was 2001, 16 years ago. There are so many that received the gift of healing, deliverance, wealth, that whatever it is that you've seen in me, you have to know that it's not of me, but it's of the Father. It's of the Father. And anytime you see a gift on somebody, and it's a gift that you want, the Bible says to covet that gift that is in them and to go after it, to pursue it. That's what the Bible says. And he says that by the laying on of hands, it's yours. And that's according to your faith. That's according to faith. That's not according to striving. That's not according to earning. That's not according to going to some school to get it. It is according to your faith you receive that which you ask for. And that what you believe that you can receive, you receive it. Just like Elijah to Elijah. There was a laying on of hands, a transferring of a mantle, a gift that was put on. So whatever it is that you see in us, in any of our team, my husband, these are gifts. Damien prayed wealth over Hans and laid hands on it. Damien's a very wealthy man, especially in real estate. No small wonder that we have made millions of dollars in real estate. So he laid hands on my husband and said, God, what you've planted in me with wealth, transfer that into Hans. And there is a clear transference of wealth. I can tell you that it wasn't that long ago that my husband wasn't very smart. And he is really brilliant now. I'm not kidding you. He is brilliant. He blows my mind. And that's from a gift that was planted in him that he then laid on hands, that were laid on Hans, and he received it. Since that time, we've laid hands on so many people. The very gifts that we've received, there's people right here in this room who today have gifts that they had not had before. Do you understand? And that was according to their faith. It was according to their faith and according to the promise that God gives. This is what he said. This is the laws that he set up. And so it's whether or not you choose to believe it and walk in it and receive it. So we are going to make ourselves available to lay hands on you, our whole team, who have various different gifts. We got people like Elena McCracken, who is a gorgeous young woman. Rachel, who's a gorgeous young woman. These girls who set themselves apart for purity, to not be touched by any man. Same with my sons, who made the decision not to sleep with a woman before he takes her as his bride. That's a gift of purity that is on them. I think we could all use the gift of purity. You know what I'm saying? The gift of purity. That's a precious, precious gift. So we have various different people that we've chosen to be up here to lay hands. And we're going to have basically a tunnel that is created to where you're going to have hands laid on you. And it's just nothing but blessing that's going to be prayed over you as you walk through basically a tunnel of blessing. And that's the last step of that replenishment. The other thing is the Bible talks about anointing with oil. Okay, and this again is a symbol of faith. First of all, the anointing oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, which just means set apart. That's all it means, is to set something apart. So tonight, you're going to be set apart by what? Being anointed with oil. And I will anoint you as well as everybody that is in this circle or this tunnel that we're in, that we will anoint you as kings and queens in the marketplace, as warriors in the kingdom of heaven, that every place that you walk, you take dominion for the kingdom of heaven instead of the kingdom of self. That you take dominion over finances, that the wealth of the wicked transfers to the true righteous, that what it is, the gifting that it takes to create wealth, gets transferred into you, as well as the building and the development of people, and the healing and the restoration of families, and the healing of physical bodies. I'm telling you, people have gotten healed in these events. People were healed tonight. Tonight, physical bodies got healed. Deep, deep, deep wounds and generational curses were broken. You now will carry that authority leaving this place. As you leave here tonight, everything that was spoken is yours. You don't have to earn it. It is given. You are receiving it. You received it inside of your soul, and now you leave and you walk out with it. So here's how we're going to do this. Jen, wherever it is that your team is, let's line them up. Second, the rest of you, all we're going to do very simply, you'll be amazed at how fast this goes. And after you walk through, you're more than welcome to go to bed. Or if you want to hang out and soak in all of it, I need some music. Then here's how this works. Here's this line. See this first row? All you're going to do is just start shifting that way. So everyone just start moving this way. We're going to create a long line of 1,000 people over here. We'll start it right here.
We rise up in the name of Jesus. We rise up. Like
Chad, you gotta turn that.
We rise up. We rise up.
Come on.
The army of God, we rise up.